sizzling human on gay Bigfoot action.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 48 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by person of interest in both the Tupac and Biggie murders, Brian. Brian, how are we doing today?
Listen, I was not involved in those cases. My defense attorney has provided the respective police departments with all the adequate backup to show. I have credit card charges. I've got statements. I have ATM receipts. I have tickets to a Knicks Spurs game at the Garden, as well as at the same night, I have tickets show that I attended the Los Angeles Dodgers at the Houston Astros baseball game in the Astrodome. So clearly, I don't know why I'm being held inside the pool of candidates for people who may have been involved in those tragic murders. But alas, not me.
Listen, you weren't a suspect, just a person of interest. And I think it's always important to clarify that.
Ron, I'm an interesting person. I know that, but don't ever call me a person of interest.
So let's get right into it with drink of the week. Very hotly contested, tied for an extended period of time between, what do we have there? We had the French Gimlet.
We had the French Gimlet, which I was against nominating, and I know that you put a lot of thought and effort into ensuring that it was still part of the poll. I personally am disgusted by elderflower liqueur. It's just it's like sucking the taint of the Satan, and that's what it tastes like. And it's not a flavor that I enjoy, not a taste. It's not something I want on my palate. So I was really rooting for the cucumber, lime, and basil gimlet, which fortunately, through the the heavens cleared up, and it was decided that the votes came in. Everybody wanted to hear Ron and I enjoy a cucumber, lime, and basil gimlet.
And I think this is kind of a double win for you, in that you, number one, you don't have to drink elderflower.
Correct.
And number two, this drink involved muddling.
Correct.
Which, as we know, if you're a longtime listener of the Ron and Brian podcast, Brian loves to muddle.
I muddle. So, it's what I do.
So this particular drink, you muddle up some cucumber and some basil, and then you got a little, what was it in yours? I think we got some vodka in there, some lime juice, some lemonade, and I think that's it.
That's it.
Just shake it and serve it over ice in a rocks glass.
Let me see yours.
Garnish it.
Let's see it. What does it look like?
Slice of cucumber. Oh, you peeled your cucumber.
No, I didn't. Interesting.
I mean, you did not peel your cucumber.
I did not peel the cucumber.
Whereas I did.
Well, this is more ceremonial. Being uncomfortable in my own skin, and you know, not quite accepting of all the feelings that I do have, you know, which I have the eternal internal struggle. I'm not going to be eating the cucumber. There's some memories that I've repressed from my time as an altar boy.
Does this involve a priest?
At St. Peter's, I'm uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable selecting the cucumber at the supermarket. So this is more for decoration.
I have to admit.
Just like I was.
You're one of the few Jewish people I know that was an altar boy as a child. So it almost seems like it was a choice. I'm just saying that.
Listen, it's not a choice. I was born this way.
All right. So cheers to you, my friend.
Cheers up. Cheers up. Let's give it a shot.
I mean, it's not horrible.
No, it's not horrible, but it also...
It's tart.
Quite the tart. As well, there's lime juice and lemonade in there.
True. And I may have muddled a little too fiercely because I've got cucumber seeds. I've got bits of basil in there.
I see. And here we go, is that I remembered the rules of muddling, which is to just slap it a few times. I did squash the crap out of the cucumber because I wanted to get that pulpiness to it. I could see this being a nice summer outdoors drink.
I could see this tasting better mixed up by someone that's better at mixing drinks.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. And it's because I love you, and it's because I love myself, that I'm not going to say this is user error.
No. I mean, I think if I were to do it again, I might cut back on the lemon or the lime a little bit.
I would add simple syrup.
Simple syrup is key.
I think this could use a little bit of sweetness to it.
Oh, you're sweet enough as it is, my friend.
Oh, I love you too.
Aw. So, drink of the week, successful, I'm going to say, this week, compared to some of our past weeks. So thank you to some of our listeners out there for suggesting some drinks.
And I also want to thank the fact that the listeners were responsible for these two choices. This was, you know, and to me, I think that it adds a whole level of the competition, where it's not you and I sitting there saying, well, you know, I've got a bottle of Jack Daniels sitting here, so let me see what drinks I can come up with it. But these were listener-generated drinks. So if you're listening to this right now, you're near a computer or whatnot, go on liquor.com. Not that we're sponsored by them, but if we are interested, you know, I would mind doing a read for liquor.com.
I think we've mentioned in the past, we're ready to sell out to anybody.
And I would like to make sure that the liquor.com website you're going to is liquor.com because, how do I say this?
If you misspell it, you're going to get something you might not enjoy.
I was on the Metro North train coming back from Connecticut on Monday, and I decided to pull up the recipe, so I typed liquor.com.
Ooh.
And I was, let's say that the 9-year-old boy that was sitting next to me really seemed to have a problem with what I was looking at.
Got an eyeful. All right. Well, once again, for next week, if you want to recommend some drinks, please throw them our way, either Facebook, Twitter, email. One thing we are going to change moving forward with both Drink of the Week and This Week in Racism is we're still going to have our polls up on our Facebook page, but we will also put separate polls up on the Twitter for those of you that hate Mark Zuckerberg and don't use that platform. So we will combine the votes from both Twitter and Facebook. And hell, if we ever figure out how to do it, we'll probably put a poll on our own webpage one of these days.
It would be nice to start driving some traffic to our website.
But neither Brian nor I seem to have that kind of talent. So if you're interested in subcontracting yourself out, you know, give us a ring also. So coast to you one more time with this gimlet. I'm going to try and finish this week.
Are you going to finish it this week or this sip?
Well, that's not that sip. That would be a lot to finish in one sip.
Also, I'd like to also bring up, I had a conversation with a somebody that I consider a dear friend who is also a listener of the podcast. And he said to me that one of the high points for him while listening to this podcast is figuring out, you know, listening in the beginning to what the drink is and then trying to time at what point do I start slurring my words later on in the episode. Now, this was something I'm going to think he's being serious. I don't think he's being facetious. I don't think he's just mocking me. So you've got to let me know if I need to take it down a notch.
I mean, I would never tell you to take it down a notch. And if anything, I think we get a little wagering going for each episode. At what point, you know, does Brian start to, you know, really be impacted by the alcohol?
Okay, because I think it's, I was, you know, while in my own defense, I think a lot of it also has to do with what type of alcohol it is that we're drinking. If it's something that I'm not interested, like this drink, it's a mixed drink, it's a cocktail. I made one round. I'm not going to go back for seconds, but there have been ones, you know, specifically where, you know, it was a dealer's choice and I just, I drank Macallan. I may have had two or three during the course of the podcast. So I can understand that, you know, maybe I was starting to, show the effects of the alcohol that I was ingesting, but I would be shocked if I'm slurring my words in the next hour.
All right. And you just need to do what I do. I tend to follow our drink of the week with a beer.
What are you working off of?
So this week, I'm going local with Victory Brewing, and it's called Juice Boost. It is a dry hopped sour, tart and tangy. So let's see here.
Did you say Juice Boost?
Juice Boost.
Isn't that what they called the train going to Auschwitz?
Ooh.
Oh, the Juice Boost.
Oh.
The 342 Juice Boost. All aboard.
I feel you've crossed the line.
Probably.
Well, let's go to some more line crossers. It's time for This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
Well, the boys of TKE at University of Georgia could not man up this week. Corinne Tyrone rolled over them 100% to zero. TKE joins the ranks of some of those individuals that could not garner a vote this week. So Corinne will move on, trying to get win number three this upcoming week. Some of the things we were tracking this past week out in Whitehall, Arkansas. Whitehall High School principal Mark Jelks is under scrutiny due to an anti-Islam Facebook post he shared on his personal account. The post stated, quote, "Kick Islam out of America. You can't walk with God holding hands with the devil." A formal complaint has been submitted to the Arkansas Department of Education, and the Council of America Islamic Relations has also asked for an investigation. Going down to Lake County, Florida, and it's been a while since we've had some racism out of Florida, but that streak is broken as 30-year-old James Reednauer and 33-year-old Brant Van Beezen shot at a 16-year-old boy and his 12-year-old sister as they were walking home from a convenience store. The teens are claiming that in addition to shooting at them, the pair yelled racial slurs. Reednauer and Van Beezen were arrested and are facing hate crime charges, and Van Beezen was also charged with possession of a firearm by a felon. Coming back up north to Harford County, Maryland, African-American attorney Rashad James had just appeared before a judge for his client, whom had not shown up for court, when a deputy approached him and asked him for ID. James showed the deputy his driver's license, who then asked for his state bar card and business card. James did not have either, both of which he is not required to carry, so the deputy escorted him to an interview room where he questioned James and made phone calls for 10 minutes before allowing him to leave. James's law firm feels that the deputy's actions were racially motivated and have asked for an investigation as to why there is a problem with lawyering while black. Going down south again, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, a monument to people of color, was defaced over the weekend with urine, and racial slurs and other hateful language was written on the monument in permanent marker. UNC has obtained arrest warrants for two individuals that have not been named as of yet. Going to New England, Quincy, Massachusetts, a white woman admitted to making up a story about being attacked in Russell Park by a black man. While searching for the suspect she had described, her story started to fall apart when police watched surveillance video from the park and she confessed to the lie upon further questioning. She was issued a summons for filing a false police report, and police have not provided a motive for her behavior. Police and local media have also not released the woman's name. Shockingly, she was also not charged with 16 felonies and blasted across the media. It almost makes you think there's a double standard there, Brian.
A little almost. Bit, right?
Just a skosh. A
little bit.
But we are going out west this week for our contender for This Week in Racism, all the way out to San Jose, California, at a Shell gas station in South San Jose. A conversation being held in Spanish between a customer and an employee was interrupted by another employee who demanded the two talk in English. The employee then started to rant about Donald Trump and having the wall built, and also demanding the customer prove that she was a citizen. The customer did shoot some video, which we have audio of right here.
We could talk Spanish. We could talk in Spanish. You don't tell me when I should talk in Spanish or should I don't.
And you don't tell me nothing.
This is a free country. If I want to talk in Spanish, I could talk in Spanish.
I care. You know what? You want to catch me on camera? Do it.
Okay.
Because I don't care. I'm sick turning 60 next week. Hurt me. Go ahead. I'm poor.
You know what?
You.
Thank you. Are you happy about that?
Yes, I am.
Woo! Congratulations.
You know what? I plan on quitting anyways.
Quit?
And it doesn't make no difference to you because you have a señora, you have your money, you can do whatever the you want, right? But, because you're not
you know
what? United States citizen of the United States.
I was born here.
Well, show me.
I don't have to bring my certificate.
No, I don't. Well, no, I don't either.
I was born here.
Well, how
I was
do you
born
prove
and
it?
Raised here because I was
Come
born
on,
here.
Prove it to me.
You know what?
Prove it to me.
The employee has since been fired and has yet to be identified, but the San Jose Police Department is still looking into the incident. So our San Jose Shell Racist will be going up this week against Corinne Tyrone, and we will have that poll up not just on our Facebook page, but on our Twitter page as well. When I heard that at first, I didn't know where it was located. I was a little surprised to hear San Jose because of that country music twang that was going on in the background during the entire video.
But that's the problem, is that I feel country music has so insidiously just intertwined with the American culture now. It used to be, country music was the music of the outlaws. It was music for the criminals, the people who lived on the other side of the law, the other side of the tracks. Now it's mom and pop, you know, little Jerry Jr.'s going down, you know, let's all listen to it. And once again, another sign we're going the wrong direction as a country.
All right. That's a pretty heavy indictment of country and Western, but
no,
it's the
cucumber gimlet just kicking in.
So if you had 16 minutes, 53 seconds in the poll this week, you are a winner. Collect your winnings at the window.
Yes.
And I can't help but think there's either mental illness or alcohol involved with this woman, or potentially both.
You know,
there was a lot of rambling. There was a lot of crazy talk.
It's she fits a certain mold of racist that we have seen consistently over the past year, where it is people who are racist. And they're, for whatever reason, like you said, mental illness, substance abuse, whether it's, the fact that they were touched by priests' children. But there's no filter. There's no filter in terms of things that you say to a stranger versus things you may think in your head. And we've seen a lot of racism coming up like that over the past year.
And as we know, Corinne Tyrone, our defending champion, also potentially had some mental illness. I know she had been detained for a mental evaluation by the police. Still no word as to what they found,
did you see that her house got broken into?
I did see that. Her house allegedly was burglarized a few days after the incident. Weird thing, it was early morning, but bright of day. So it's, I don't know, a little weird.
Well, we know she wasn't at work. We know that.
That is true.
She was definitely not at work.
So again, hop over to Facebook, hop over to Twitter, vote in the poll. San Jose Shell Racist versus Corinne Tyrone. Brian, your predictions?
I think Corinne keeps her streak going. I think we have our, I'm predicting it now. I think Corinne Tyrone is going to be our first guaranteed number one seed in the year-end, this year in racism bracket.
All right. We already have one retired number one seed, but that's all right. We can call Corinne number one as well.
Well, yeah. Don't we have four?
Keep track of that.
Are we going to have four?
What's that?
Don't we have four different number ones?
We'll have the different brackets.
Yeah. So in her bracket of racist white women who are caught on video dropping the N-word at Walmart, I think she's going to be the number one seed.
I got to say, the white women are killing the racism this year. So men, step up your game out there.
Well, I think men, it seems as if, we're doing the less verbal, there's less rants on the, there's more gunshots.
More shooting,
yeah.
More physical violence.
Yes, exactly.
I see what you're saying. You make some excellent points.
I'm trying here.
All right. Well, that was This Week in Racism. Coming up now, we've got my personal favorite, and I think yours too, Brian. beef of the week.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week.
I've still created nothing better than that promo lead-in. Yeah. It's still the best piece of audio I've done, I think.
I would say this podcast is probably the best thing you've done.
This particular episode or just in general? Just the body of work.
Podcast.
I would say the same to you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But what's your beef this week?
Little kid who lives in my building.
Oh, okay.
Earlier this week, I think it was on Sunday, I was waiting. I live in a apartment building, seven stories. I live in the top floor, penthouse. I pay extra for it. But you know what? Don't hate my bougie self. So I'm waiting for the elevator, and I hear, and the elevator is stuck on two. It's not moving, and I hear lots of noise ahead upstairs. And I know that there's somebody talking, and they're holding up my elevator. Finally, after what felt like forever, it was probably 3 minutes, I see the elevator go from two down to one, door opens, a mother with a stroller, baby in the stroller, and what probably is about an eight-year-old boy comes out after, and he starts laughing. He looks at me and starts laughing. And I thought to myself, why would a kid look at me and start laughing? Now, my first thought was I was just going to punt the kid down the hallway. But then I said to myself, nope, not worth going to jail over. And maybe it was just his mother had just told him a really funny knock-knock story. Unfortunately, that was not the case. As I let them exit the elevator, I passed them. Looked, he had pressed every button in the elevator.
Oh, the son of a bitch.
And he thought it was funny.
He Christmas-treed you. That's what we called it when we were kids.
Is that it?
You Christmas-treed it because you just lit the whole thing up.
Oh.
How long did it take for you to get to your floor at that point?
I would say probably a solid 75 seconds.
Man.
I was outraged. Outraged.
Damn these kids.
What's your beef?
I got to go, and again, this shouldn't surprise you because we talked about it already. The free Wi-Fi on Amtrak trains, which is absolutely useless. I had to take a business trip to D.C. last week, just shooting down from Philadelphia to Union Station. And, you know, and Amtrak tries to make it seem like they're doing a good thing. Like, hey, you guys are going to get some free Wi-Fi. I literally would have been better off with two cans and a piece of string because I had to just every time I logged on, nothing. Just no signal whatsoever. So it's like, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I know you've had similar experiences, Brian.
My issue with Amtrak Wi-Fi, and this is where I'm going to, and I don't want to defend them, because certainly I want you to know I have your back 100%. Which is weird, because that's what the priest said to me when I was five. but what I find with the Amtrak is that if you get onto the network early on the train, you have a better you get better Wi-Fi. If you wait until the train has left the station, if you enter midway on the route, there are enough people that have already connected. And nowadays, people are coming on. They take out their laptop, they take out their tablet, they take out their cell phone, they take out their business cell phone. They're connecting everything to Wi-Fi. That if you're not quick on the draw, you there's no bandwidth left to provide you internet with.
It just feels like some bullshit, though, Brian.
Well, I'm going to say this to you. I think that you genuinely have hit first world problems, bougie. Like, if you the biggest outrage you have all week is that you weren't able to use the free wireless on your Amtrak train. How long is the train?
It's about 2 hours.
That's not bad. Yeah, no, you do want some Wi-Fi. What I don't like about it is that you cannot stream video.
Well, I mean, that much I'm fine with. I mean, I just wanted to be able to do a little work, but whatever. My beef almost was that I almost was on the wrong train thanks to one of the Amtrak employees in Philadelphia. I actually was on the wrong train, but thankfully it was still going to Washington, D.C. Because I get to the station. I've got about... I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to spare. But I look up on the little display, and it's like, you know, your train is going to be boarding on track 5. So I'm like, all right, I'll just go down. I'll get on the train, get a cup of coffee, settle in, relax. I walk over to the staircase, show the guy my little ticket on my Amtrak app on my phone. He just takes a quick look. He's like, oh, yeah, head on down. So I go down, hop on the train, start walking down trying to find the quiet car, and doors close, train starts to move like a good 15 minutes before my scheduled train is supposed to leave. Walk to the cafe car to get my coffee, ask the guy behind there, I'm like, this train is going to DC, right? He's like, eh, we're going to DC. But again, for whatever reason, the train was my train was going to come in right after this train,
right?
But the Amtrak guy was just like, eh, this is your train right here. So, but thankfully, it was still going the same way, place I needed to go.
What was the difference between the two?
Well, I had a ticket on the Acela train.
You bougie first world bastard. Oh, I only ride the Acela.
So, well, I got the Acela because I thought, you know, I might not make the first train, the one I actually ended up being on. So I wanted to have a little extra time before I left.
Is that because you wanted to enjoy the Amtrak's first class lounge?
Apparently, I got a free cup of coffee because I had a business class ticket.
Really? Well, I didn't know that.
It was amazing. The guy was like, oh, no, you get a free coffee, sir. I'm like, okay. And it wasn't good coffee, but...
Yeah, but it's Dunkin' Donuts brand coffee. It's not some like, miscellaneous crap like Maxwell House or Joe Folgers. Schmoes. Yeah, Folgers is garbage.
All right, well, that's our beef.
All right.
I'm sure we'll find something else to bother us during the upcoming week. So moving on, we lost an entertainer
news
this past week.
Terrible news this week.
Nipsey Hussle was
Nipsey
gunned
Hussle.
Down
and if I can,
outside of his store, Marathon Clothing.
Ron, if I could take this for a moment. I mean,
this was
someone I grew up with. This was, this is somebody who I felt a kinship to. Some of my best memories I have are in line with Nipsey Hussle. When you are one of television's most popular talk show host guests, game show panelists, coming from a the tough upbringing that he had growing up in a small town in Atlanta, where there really weren't a lot of opportunities for African Americans. But, you know, as at the age of 6, he started singing, dancing, as part of his, his children's troupe. The thing that really, I think, set him apart from the rest of the people of his generation was that, he did not want to wear the baggy pants, and he wasn't raunchy. He didn't work blue. But then, I think he caught his big break when in 1950, he started to appear on The Tonight Show, got his big break in the comedy world when he was on Car 54, Where Are You? Ultimately, right. Where I realized that Nipsey Hussle was. Right. I grew up watching Hollywood Squares and $50,000 Pyramid. That's where Nipsey Hussle. That's where I know him.
If I can interrupt for a moment,
sure.
I think you may be talking about Nipsey Russell.
Yeah,
this is Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle.
If you look on the Nipsey Russell Wikipedia page, it even says for the rapper, see Nipsey Hussle. That's because Nipsey Russell died in 2005.
Yes.
Nipsey Hussle was shot and killed on Sunday of this week.
Who shot him?
Well, they have arrested Eric Holder.
Eric Holder?
You mean
the American lawyer who was the 52nd Attorney General of the United States from the year 2000 to 2009 to 2015? Personally, I mean, serving in the administration of President Barack Obama, Eric was the first African American to hold the position of U.S. Attorney General. Growing up in a middle class family right outside of New York City, went to my alma mater, Stuyvesant High School. Went through all the appropriate.
Brian.
Yes.
I think you might not that Eric Holder. This Eric Holder apparently is a 29-year-old man who Hussle had disputed with earlier in the day. He was arrested yesterday and charged with Hussle's murder. So hopefully that straightens some things out for you. I know you get a little confused when you get, you know, a gimlet deep in, but come on now. So Nipsey was, 33, I believe. American rapper and songwriter, growing up in South Los Angeles in the Crenshaw neighborhood, became famous initially through mixtapes that he had released. People would spend, you know, $100 each on these mixtapes that he did. Also, you know, a philanthropist, gave a lot back to his community, really inspired, you know, a lot of people around him. I've yet to see anyone that really had a bad thing to say. Everyone is talking about what a loss this is, not just to music, but to the community in general.
Well, that seems to be the part that I am finding most, that's the saddest part of this, is that you've got this individual that is being spoken highly of by gang members, by police, by business owners, by local residents. Literally everybody that you would think could not agree on something all seem to be on board by saying that this was someone who was working very hard to make his neighborhood better. And that's a rough neighborhood. It's had its troubles for 50 years or so, and to think that a human life can be snuffed out so quickly,
it's sad. It's sad. And it goes to show you the meaninglessness of gun violence in this country.
Listen, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
One thing that I think was amiss is they had the new match game with Alec Baldwin. Why wouldn't they have Nipsey Hussle on the new match game, since Nipsey Russell was such a figure on the old match game?
One would think so, correct?
You would think. It would just blend itself. But
did not happen that way.
You know what? Not everybody has our genius, Brian.
So what are the odds that Nipsey Hussle gets taken out by Eric Holder, and I had both of those confused?
I mean, if you're asking me to wager on your confusion,
pretty high, right?
I don't know how surprised I am.
All right. You know who's also been confused this past week?
Who's that?
Joe Biden.
Joe has had, I would say, a rough week. A number of people, a number of women have come out and, alleged that Joe Biden had touched them inappropriately, touching, hugging, sniffing of hair. I think we're up to, four accusers at this point.
I think it's a couple more. I think what you're looking at here is there are no allegations so far on the table that he had made sexual advances on anyone. However, correct. It was, and I mean, the number of videos that have been spreading across the internet of Joe Biden interacting with women where there is absolutely a physical contact, and where he is the instigator of physical contact. Lots of examples of him coming up to women and hugging them, and it's what seemingly like nuzzling his head up against theirs. There are videos of him smelling women's hair. And I think what's going on here is that women, you know, have looked at all the various different examples of unwelcome, unwanted, and unacceptable male behavior. Now they're looking at Joe Biden saying, you know, now that we're thinking about it, that's also pretty wrong too. Not to compare the two and saying they're on the same level, but this is another, you know, white man who is in a position of authority, power, where he is assuming physical contact between him and women that are near him, and do not feel like they are in a position to stop him.
Right. Yes.
What I just wanted to say, and I don't mean to jump the gun, but I think, you know, he still hasn't apologized. The word apology, correct, or I'm sorry, has not come out. He said a quote today, hold on, where was it? Here's what is his thing. I'll just read it. It's a little lengthy, but I think it. In the coming month, I expect to be talking to you about a whole lot of issues, and as always, I'll be direct. But today, I want to talk about the gestures of support, encouragement I've made to women. Like, he's already patting himself on the back, you know? And then he goes on to say after blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, here we go. Here's the meat. I understand and I've heard what these women are saying. Politics to me has always been about making connections, and I will be more mindful about respecting personal space in the future. That's my responsibility, and I will meet it.
Well, and an old Daily Show clip from with Jon Stewart back in 2015, you know, we're starting to circulate again. You know, it shows a news segment from CNN, which was a video of Biden placing his hands on the shoulders of former Secretary of Defense Ash Carter's wife, Stephanie Carter, and Biden left his hands on her shoulders for like 30 seconds, which seems like an uncomfortable amount of time. It showed him whispering in the ear of, you know, Senator Chris Coons' daughter. Just, you know, there was a lot of clips about that. You know, and all this started last week when former Nevada Lieutenant Governor candidate Lucy Flores accused Biden of inappropriate conduct during a 2014 campaign event, saying Biden, quote, planted a big slow kiss on the back of my head. So, yeah, Joe Biden is, you know, he's obviously one of these people that is very, very touchy-feely, very open. He wants to connect with someone, and his way of connecting is hugging. It's grabbing shoulders. It's leaning in close. I don't think there's a malicious intent, but what Joe seems to not be realizing is that there doesn't need to be a malicious intent for this to have a negative impact on these women that he's interacting with. You know, we kind of, you know, kind of jumping back to our first episode when we discussed the Me Too movement, you know, we talked about, you know, just how, you know, men in general need to be introspective about some of the positions that they may have put women in, you know, not with any intent, but that doesn't take away, you know, the feelings that, you know, these women are going to have. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like he is self-aware enough to acknowledge that. Like, he's like, all right, I get it. These women here don't want me to be so hands-on. So because of them, I won't be Joe. And rather than taking some accountability for what he's been doing all these years.
Exactly. And I think what you're seeing here is just a, this is what this, and listen, were he not running for president, I am interested in pontificating how he would respond. I think right. He's avoiding the apology because he does not want any sound bites or whatnot to be used against him when he is fighting in the primaries. You know, it's a sound bite. It's going to be a sound bite of I'm sorry or whatnot. But I think that what we have the potential at this moment for is he's making the argument of intent. I understand that it made you feel this way, but I didn't mean for you to feel that way, which we have not lived in that world for a while. You know, it used to be that intent was the determining factor on the severity of how you were judged. If you told a joke and someone was offended by it, you know, 20 years ago, it was, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I wasn't trying to offend. I meant the joke this way. You know, two Jews walk into a bar, you know, those jokes used to be funny. We all used to laugh because you were trying to make people laugh. You weren't trying to, insult Jewish people. Now it's, well, you have to be sensitive to the fact that there are some people who may not find that joke funny. Joe Biden saying, well, I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable and I wish you had, and now I won't do that anymore.
And I think what is maybe hampering it also is he's got a number of individuals, women included, you know, that are coming to his defense. You know, Meghan McCain tweeted the other day, Joe Biden is one of the truly decent and compassionate men in all of American politics. He has helped me through my father's diagnosis, treatment, and ultimate passing more than any one of my father's friends combined. I wish there was more empathy from our politicians, not less. And I think, again, I think Meghan is confusing the two issues where it is possible for someone to be decent and compassionate and still have a pattern of behavior that is inappropriate in this day and time.
The Huffington Post had an interesting article on this earlier today where they actually gave a name. They assigned a name to what Biden does, which is what they're calling it is benevolent sexism.
Interesting.
Which is that he's not doing something to harass. He's not doing something to assault, but he's definitely using his, his position of authority to make himself comfortable in the in the physical personal space of women that he's encountering.
I think that's an excellent point that they make there, and I think that's where I don't want to simplify it to say, oh well, that's the generation that he came up in, but I think that is probably that's one of his bigger challenges is, you know, he came up in a generation where, oh, you know, I'm going to be friendly, I can hug a man, I can hug a woman, I can smell their hair, I can, you know, run my tongue off the back of their ear, and everything's fine. If he is really going to appeal to voters, especially younger voters, which is a demographic he obviously would need to really carry to during the primaries and a potential election, you know, I think he needs to embrace the fact that he needs to change. Regardless of whether he thinks what he's doing is wrong or not, he needs to acknowledge what he's doing makes people uncomfortable. Like, it is like if I walked up to somebody at work and just kind of leaned in and sniffed their hair, I would expect to be just fired.
Yes, nowadays you would.
Like, that
nowadays,
would not surprise yes. me in any way, shape, or form if that was the how that resolved itself.
And this is where I'm going to get a little conspiratorial. Is that I think what you're seeing is the Democratic establishment, the liberal establishment, kind of circling the wagons around him to try to say, listen, this guy's our candidate, and if we allow people to start attacking him and to pull him down, we really don't have any candidates left because all the candidates that are running are not establishment candidates. So what I've seen a lot on the on MSNBC is the announcers are going out of their way to differentiate his behavior from other men in power who have been embroiled in the Me Too movement. Like there's, you know, I was, what is the Scarborough Joe or the Joe Scarborough and
Mika?
The Coffee Joe. Yeah, you know, the morning show.
Right.
He was, you know, don't get me wrong, at 6:30 in the morning, the last thing I want to hear is just people just yapping and yapping and incessantly yapping and being upset. Like, who's upset at 6:30 in the morning? These people drives me up the wall, but that's neither here nor there. But it's the idea that, like, he was so, the guy on the show was so dead fast that how dare anyone accuse Joe Biden of behaving inappropriately? This is not, you know, how can you compare him to, and he was throwing out, and it's like, hold on a second. You don't have a right to tell someone else how they felt. You just right. don't. Like this woman, you know, another politician who wrote the original article online where she discussed how I forgot her name already, and that's a shame because we should know her name. Oh, Nevada State Assemblywoman Lucy Flores wrote an article online about it, about her uncomfortable encounter with him. That is on thecut.com. It came out on the 29th of March, called "An Awkward Kiss Changed How I Saw Joe Biden." An interesting read. Everybody should pick it up. It's on the New York website. But it is, it's the idea that, and this is where I think the Democrats just prove themselves to be full of shit right now, is that You know, they have no problem going after Republican candidates. But now that Joe Biden is getting ensnarled in this, they're sitting there and immediately saying, well, how can you compare what Joe Biden did to what the president did? There are 27 women who have accused him of sexual assault, you know, whether it's rape, whether it's forced kissing or touching. You know, he's in the White House. And even to the point where on CNN, I saw a clip where they were arguing that the Democrats made a tactical mistake pushing Al Franken out of Congress.
And a lot, and that has come up again. And Karen Gillibrand has taken a lot of shrapnel this past week, because a lot of seasoned Democrats are, you know, blaming her for, you know, for Franken having to resign his Senate seat. I get the level of frustration and the double standard because we do have a president that, for lack of better words, is a sexual predator. But, you know, the Democrats need to realize that they need to raise the bar. They need to be better than, you know, what is happening on the other side of the aisle. I mean, the GOP is I mean, as bad as, I mean, no, all politicians are a little bit sleazy, in my opinion.
Yes, but if you are going to take the moral high ground, if you are going to sit there and say that the Republicans are terrible people because they have, that they are defending the Republican politicians and the business owners who have, sexually assaulted women, then you can't suddenly turn around and start defending the men in your fold for anything that crosses the line. It just screams hypocrisy.
So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And I mean, and the fact of the matter is, Joe Biden hasn't even declared himself as a presidential candidate yet. So,
no, but it's really, you know, obvious he's going to run.
But could this potentially change his mind? You know, could he say, well, geez, if this is what is coming out prior to me even announcing that I'm running, what could potentially come out if the GOP really needs to bring me down if I'm a candidate? Because every poll, regardless of him being a candidate yet or not, every poll has him leading every other Democratic candidate out there.
Right.
So is he, at the end of the day, is he going to be willing to put himself and his family under the kind of scrutiny that he's gotten a little taste of over the past week?
Well, only time will tell.
That's true. That's true. Speaking of the other side of the aisle, big news today is that Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal of Massachusetts has sent a letter to IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig, citing in part Congress's oversight responsibility and stating that they would like to receive 6 years of personal and business tax returns for President Donald Trump. This was something that a lot of members of the House had campaigned upon when the Democrats took back the House in the 2018 midterm elections. They stated, we will be coming for the tax returns. And now here we are a few months later. It is actually happening. It will probably set up a clash between the White House and the Ways and Means Committee and the courts.
Definitely going to go to court. Trump is
clearly not going to turn these over if he can help it.
I don't think he's going to turn it over, even if the court goes after him.
Right. I mean, but again, if it's something that is in the possession of the IRS, is it necessarily something that he could stop? And that I don't know.
Correct. I don't know either. It's going to be very interesting. I think this was the first time a major party political candidate did not share any form of their tax returns as they were running, which was, once again, political hypocrisy. This was something that Donald Trump railed against Obama for, was a lack of transparency. Now you've got Trump running for president, and he said, no, if I remember correctly, it was, my tax returns are so confusing that nobody would be able to understand them. Therefore, I'm not releasing them.
And also, he was being audited, so he couldn't release anything because he was being audited.
Now, what's the logic there? What is that logic?
There is no logic, but I think the narrative he was trying to spin is, I would love to release my returns, but since they're being audited and they're not officially finalized returns, I can't release them. Meanwhile, everyone at the IRS was like, no, you can totally release your returns regardless of whether we're auditing you or not. Clearly he's trying to keep that. I mean, he broke with 40 years of presidential campaign tradition in refusing to release his personal tax returns. And again, after the vote, after he was elected, he said, I'm not going to release them because Americans had elected me without seeing the returns. Right. So this sets up a battle in the courts. The big thing that keeps coming up over and over again is that people seem to feel, I don't think anyone feels that there's going to be any big smoking gun in these tax returns, but I think a lot of people feel that Trump is worried that people will find out that he's not as wealthy as he has always portrayed himself to be over the years.
Right.
Because he is all about image. He is more sizzle than steak. And I was thinking about it. He has literally managed to fail in businesses that should thrive in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You had Trump steaks, which I think per person we eat more red meat in this country than any other country on the planet. And that failed. Trump water. I mean, we all drink water. Failed at that. Casinos. I mean, how do you fail making money at a casino? When the entire game, in every game you have, is rigged in the House favor.
Right.
How do you end up failing at a casino?
Couldn't tell you.
Trump airline failed. I mean, you mean to tell me you can't run an airline better than like Frontier or God help us, Spirit Airlines?
Yeah, but this is where the brilliance of Donald Trump comes out, is the fact that his argument is that he was not personally involved in the day-to-day operations of these entities. All he did was just license his name to be used. You know, he set these entities, he set them up to succeed. You know, he was involved in every aspect of construction and whatnot. But the day-to-day after it was set up, that's when he handed it off to the president or whatnot of the entities, and they're the ones that ran it into the ground. So he has this level of deniability for running any of these entities into the ground.
Well, I think the bigger challenge now is he clearly has licensed his name to Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Hey-o!
Speaking of Saudi Arabia,
you loved it.
It was mentioned in the press this past week that the family of the Washington Post reporter, the slain Khashoggi.
Yes.
His family, his daughter and his son, have been receiving tens of thousands of dollars already from the Saudi government, as well as have been provided real estate that is already valued in the millions as quote-unquote blood money for the death of their father in exchange for them not speaking ill of the royal family of Saudi Arabia, and that payments are going to continue for their lifetime.
That's insane. Like, could you put a price tag on the murder of a family member?
No, but the press is estimating that they're going to get as much as $70 million for this guy.
Huh. Well, all right.
For half of
$70 million? I mean,
listen, I know you love your brother. I know you love your brother. You love him. You love the guy. But if somebody were to say to you, listen, here is $70 million, he's just not going to be around available to you anymore.
I mean, maybe not my brother, but I mean, there are some expendable family members I have out there.
Yeah, but this is their father. It's got to be somebody close. It can't be. It's not.
Oh, I'd be fine if someone offed my father. I have no issue with that.
There you go. Okay, so do you want to call the Saudis?
We'll see. I'm not 100% sure where the man is. I haven't talked to him in 19 years.
Probably it's not.
There's a story for a future podcast.
Well, I think that's going to be one where we need to have a couple scotches in you to get the full story. Also, I wanted to say that our thoughts and prayers with Britney Spears today.
I miss this. What's going on with Brittany?
Brittany checked into a mental clinic recently because she was feeling a lot of strain and stress over the fact that her father has been ill for the past couple months.
All right. Well, I mean, at least she went and got herself some help versus, you know, shaving her head and beating up a car with an umbrella.
Absolutely.
So I think we feel that, I think this shows that she has matured as a person.
What, Ron? You wanted to know what happened to her father? Well, let me tell you.
Please.
Jamie Spears has been battling a colon condition since last November when his colon spontaneously ruptured.
What? All right. Let's step this back for a second. How does one's colon spontaneously rupture?
Have you ever heard of double anal?
I have.
Have you ever seen that in action?
I mean, there are some clips out there you can watch.
All I'm saying is the fact that, you know, from what I've witnessed on the internet, that's one way that a colon can spontaneously rupture.
Are you saying this is what happened to Britney Spears' father?
Not at all. Not at all. That man is a saint for taking care of that poor girl. And also pushing her into a life that suddenly she was not able to handle emotionally. But yeah, when you read that about a colon spontaneously rupturing, makes me very uncomfortable.
I mean, it makes your day seem that much better because your colon did not spontaneously rupture.
Did not.
Did I tell you that we saw Britney in Vegas a few years back?
Oh, you're going to have to tell me this one. What on earth were you thinking when you said, let's do this?
Well, number one, it's Britney, bitch.
Okay.
And that's really all you need to know is it's Britney. But I think we went both for the potential entertainment factor and the potential train wreck factor. And there was both, really.
How was it a train wreck? Thing,
because, I mean, she, you know, obviously she was lip syncing most of it. Some of it seemed like she forgot the dance moves. Like it was not a polished performance by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
But the thing that was like amazing to me is how loved around the world she is. Because as we're sitting there in this audience, we were literally surrounded by groups of people from Germany, you know, China, Australia, you know, all these different countries, all of them knew the music, sang the songs. I mean, it was young, old, like just universal appeal was just amazing to me.
Here's the question, Ron. Did you sing anything?
I mean, I'm an oops, I did it again. I mean, I'll crank that out at karaoke. I'm not afraid.
It's funny. That's what my priest said to me when I was seven.
And since we're sending out thoughts and prayers, we will also send them out to Kelly Stafford, wife of Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, who announced today that she is going to be undergoing surgery to remove a brain tumor, which was discovered after the Lions team doctor recommended an MRI following several instances of vertigo.
Oh, that's terrible.
So, you know, wife of Matthew Stafford, mother to two kids. So we obviously wish her well.
Yes. Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Did we have any mass shootings this past week?
You know, I think this past week we were actually, it was relatively quiet.
Yeah, it was relatively quiet. Though I did see that a New Zealand death metal band member was arrested today for burning two Mormon churches. And that's something that we have not seen for a while. Death metal band members burning down churches. We haven't seen that. You know, it was very popular back in the 80s going into the 90s. Nice to see, you know, those trends returning.
And the Mormons have gotten off relatively unscathed over the past few years. So,
they really have.
It's good to see people targeting them again.
Absolutely.
You know, Scientology seemed to take a lot of the hate for a while. But now, Church of Latter-day Saints, people are coming for you again.
There you go. I'd like to point out, this is episode 48 that we've done of the podcast.
Yes.
We've got a big anniversary coming up.
We'll be coming up on 1 year, and you know, very soon, a month or so.
What are we going to do? I mean, what do we have? What plans do we have? What do people want? Do they want Should we do a live show somewhere? Should we open the door to Casa de Ron and just invite everyone into your humble abode? Nobody's allowed upstairs, first floor only. Do they want a best of episode?
I don't know. I've heard some people don't like clips, so best of might not be the best way to go, but maybe a cocktail party to celebrate.
What about if we do an entire episode in Spanish?
Ooh. Me llamo Bruno.
Me gusta mucho de los feliz de cumpleaños. Menudo.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Mi madre está en la cuarto de baño.
So we'll put some thoughts together. We'll get that out there. If you guys have any suggestions, obviously we always love to hear from you.
Yeah.
I know a lot of other podcasts say that, but we truly mean it. We love you. We want to slobber all over you. Get back to us on Facebook, Twitter, if you have any thoughts for the one-year anniversary, if you have any thoughts for Drink of the Week, and obviously we'll have the polls up very shortly for Races of the Week. Depending on when you're listening to this, they may be up already, so go to our Facebook and Twitter pages and check those out. Brian, other exciting news, we've got the royal baby coming out soon. The big question, what will Meghan Markle and Prince Harry choose for the baby name? Betting lines are running heavy that it'll be either Elizabeth or Diana.
It's a girl?
Thoughts? I'm assuming it is, or They probably wouldn't be going that way.
I was going to put in that I thought it was going to be a boy.
Maybe they don't, because you can get a few different odds here. All right, so here's the current odds. Elizabeth is 6-1. You've got 8-1 for either Diana or Victoria. You've got 12-1 for Albert, Alice, Grace, and Philip. And then coming in a bit of a long shot at 16-1 is Arthur, James, and Mary.
What about Hortensia?
Very nice, but not in the... You probably could get some really good odds on that. Let's see here. What else? Well, this is interesting. Very low odds is the chance that the child will be named Barack. That's 100-1. Teresa is also 100-1. Piers is 200-1. Donald is 250-1. And the extreme long shot, if you want to take a risk factor, at 500-1 odds,
Osama.
Is Brexit. Brexit.
Oh, do you have an understanding of Brexit?
I have a very perfunctory understanding of Brexit. I mean, obviously, Great Britain wants to leave the European Union because a majority of their voters were talked into the con that the money that they pay into the European Union, they don't get
their
return
money
on. I don't...
this is my question to you. What is it that's being voted on in Parliament right now that they can't get their act together on? Because I know Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Britain, was against the idea of Brexit, but she is putting forth recommendations on how they leave the European Union. And I don't understand, is it that they're voting on leaving? Is it the fact that they're leaving? I'm very confused as to what's going on. And because British, I don't understand what they're talking because they're so painfully polite.
So from my understanding, and again, I have a very grade school understanding of this, is obviously when they leave the European Union, there are a number of services, there's a number of procedures, things of that nature, that they're pulling themselves out of all these systems. And so they need to come up with a plan as a country as to how they'll do a lot of these services and these systems on their own. So to do that, the government has to agree to some sort of deal for this Brexit exit to determine, you know, how things are going to be handled.
Right.
They have not been able to agree that it has not been able to be passed. So the other option they had was to just have no deal and just exit the European Union and just see what happens, which a lot of people have indicated would just be mass chaos.
Yeah.
It would cripple the economy. Business would cease to exist almost. I don't get that part. I also don't get why they seem to be having a vote of confidence like every other week for Theresa May. Somehow she keeps surviving, but now apparently she's stating that she will resign after Brexit is completed.
It's because they have a coalition government.
A coalition of the willing.
So the idea here is that Donald Trump won the Electoral College, so he has the political power. In England, because they have multiple parties, and not one party has enough support to garner 50.1% of the vote and the representation in parliament, that you have whichever party has the most percentage votes, they then go out and bring in to the fold other political parties with the votes that they receive till they reach that 50.1%. So I think she's looking at it where some of the supporters that were on her side are now saying that they would not vote for her again if they do have a vote.
No, and that part I get. I guess it's like, you know, one week, all right, we're going to have a vote of confidence, and then she wins, and then a week later, we're going to have another vote. Like, it just seems very redundant. But then again, she's brought the same Brexit deal to the table three separate times to get it voted down. So I get the impression that no one really knows what the hell is going on over there.
Agreed.
All I know is apparently Donald Trump's father was born in Germany. And windmills cause cancer.
He's such a fucking moron. Fucking moron. And you know what the worst part is? That, like, I really sat there and said, you know what? Let me give this guy a shot. You know, I remember the night, the Saturday after he won, Dave Chappelle getting up there on Saturday Night Live. I think he was the host that week. And he was, in his monologue, I remember him saying, listen, this guy's our president. And, you know, I am an American and I love this country. And wouldn't it be great if this guy does some great things as he says he wants to do? And it's turned out that he's been,
I mean, I remember sitting there and saying, you know, all right, well, how bad could it really get?
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question.
Stupid question.
So, well, I think we'll end on a low note.
All right. I'm all right with that.
With that. Next week, just to give you a little preview, we're going to be talking Game of Thrones. New season comes back April 14th, so we will be giving you our Game of Thrones predictions. Dun 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 dun. Are you all caught up, Brian? I know you're working on it.
Oh no, I've been caught up for I would say at least a month at this point.
All right.
I burned through the entire show.
Good on you. Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about?
What?
Before we get out of here. Our intense, and I'm surprised this wasn't either of our beefs of the week, our intense hatred of April Fool's Day.
Oh, that would have been a great beef. Yes.
I don't know about anybody else out there, but all of these little April Fool's jokes are they're incredibly lame and they need to go away. And the only reason I thought of that was, you know, they did a bit on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon where they had Maisie Williams on and she, accidentally gave out a spoiler that Arya dies in episode 2 and then was like, oh, April Fool's, like, no one literally believed watching it because it was so poorly acted out.
Right.
And then what else did I see? Good Lord, what did I see? It sucks getting old. You forget things. Star-Kissed tuna ice cream that was buffalo chicken flavored and like just shit like that. It just, people
got
to stop.
Yeah, I saw the McDonald's in Australia announced that they were going to have an all vegetarian burger that was literally just layers of pickles. It's what we've seen nowadays is the social media teams of these corporate entities think that now it's going to be cute and funny to do April Fool's jokes on there. It's not. Just there's enough stress, and I want to deal with it.
I think the last good one I told you this was however many years ago that Taco Bell took out all these ads that they had bought the naming rights for the Liberty Bell.
And yes, it was hilarious. I remember that.
Because people here in Philadelphia actually believed it and yes. lost their shit. That was funny. I think everyone, I think April Fool's pranks from a corporate level peaked with Taco Bell.
Yes.
And everybody else has been trying to duplicate that, and everybody fails poorly. And because of that, I think we just both hate April 1st.
All right, I'll agree with that. But I love you. I love
you.
And
then April 2nd was Equal Pay Day.
Yes.
So, which I always forget about this each year. So for those of you that don't know, April 2nd was the day that women caught up to making the similar amount of money that men did in 2018.
Now, so what it is that starting January 1, 2018, women had to work that year plus January 1.
3 months and 2 days.
Just to equal what men were paid in 2018.
In 12 months, correct.
Oh, that's depressing.
I mean, yes, and ridiculous. So,
come on, folks.
We've really depressed ourselves here.
Well, that we did.
Hopefully we've entertained you. You know, head over to iTunes. You can subscribe to us there. You can rate. You can review. Listen to us on all the major platforms, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean. Yes.
I had a question for you.
Please.
Did you purchase your tickets for Avengers: The Final Countdown?
Avengers: Endgame. I have not purchased my tickets as of yet. The wife does not seem overly interested, even though I did make her watch Captain Marvel this past weekend, just to get you know we needed to kind of tie that all together. So I may have to do that one on my own. We'll see. I also need to purchase my tickets to Life of Agony at Broken Goblet on May 11th.
Yes, we will be
obviously
there.
Obviously, Ron and Brian will be in attendance, so we got to make sure we got that wrapped up. And we may have some things in the works with a fellow podcaster out there.
Yes, some exciting things going on. Some logo redesigns, website updates. A lot of interesting things going on in our world. That you're going to be seeing rolled out in the upcoming weeks. I'll repeat it again. You know, this show is it's supported by you. We want this to be an interactive experience. So, you know, go to our website, go to our Twitter, go to our Facebook page, go to Instagram, follow us, make suggestions. I love seeing when people, tag our page on, the different forms of social media when there's a blatant racism come out. I genuinely appreciate people who send in drink choices that I actually am willing to make. You know, there is a caveat there. I'll be the first to admit it. Let's keep it up. Keep the good work up, people. You do your part, we'll do ours. Fucking Ryan Seacrest.
I know. We may have to invite Ryan to the first anniversary party to see if you guys can mend ways.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Again, check out the Facebook and Twitter page. We'll have the polls up for Drink of the Week and This Week in Racism. Like I said, leave some reviews. Let us know if you like us, if you don't like us, what you do like, what you don't like. You know, we're going to be going into year two shortly. We always try to make this podcast better, more enjoyable for you. So let us know how we can do that. In the meantime, Brian,
yes,
I love you, my friend.
Love you more.
All right, we'll catch you all next week.
Peace.
Goodbye.